Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Military unrest broke out again this morning in South Korea. Unconfirmed reports from Seoul say martial law commander General Chung Seung-ha has been arrested and taken to the Army security compound. Informed sources say he'll be questioned in connection with the assassination in October of President Park Chung-hee. There was some shooting and several persons reportedly were wounded. 14 years after its unilateral declaration of independence, Zimbabwe Rhodesia this morning returned to British control temporarily with the arrival of the new British governor, Lord Soames. Robin Wright reports from Salisbury.
Soames' arrival will mark the end of the economic blockade imposed on the country after former Prime Minister Ian Smith illegally declared independence from Britain in 1965. Soames will assume all executive, legislative, and military authority over the territory, an act made official yesterday when the Zimbabwe Rhodesian Parliament voted to dissolve, thus accepting the terms of the British settlement plan. However, the settlement will not be fully implemented because the Patriotic Front guerrilla movement has not yet accepted the terms of the ceasefire to end the seven-year-old war. Technically, the British will also assume responsibility for the Zimbabwe-Rhodesian side of the war against the Patriotic Front. If Zambia and Mozambique, countries that host the guerrillas, continue to allow guerrilla infiltration, it will be deemed an act of war against Britain. Robin Wright, CBS News, Salisbury.
At least 29 people are reported killed, 70 injured, in a powerful earthquake that shook parts of Colombia and Ecuador before dawn. Thousands of panic-stricken people rushed from their homes. Tall buildings swayed in Bogota, the Colombian capital. Several buildings were destroyed elsewhere. The quake registered 8.1 on the Richter scale. Foreign and defense ministers of the North Atlantic Alliance gathered in Brussels this morning to examine the U.S. proposal for deployment of modernized medium-range nuclear missiles in Western Europe. Bernard Redmont has details in the Belgian capital.
The NATO Council is meeting in an unusual joint session of foreign and defense ministers to adopt the program. Opposition in many countries has failed to block the plan to station missiles in Western Europe targeted on the Soviet Union. The U.S.-built Pershing II and cruise missiles are designed to modernize the NATO arsenal and cope with the recent buildup of Soviet SS-20 missiles and backfire bombers. Deployment of the new American weapons won't be completed until 1983. Meanwhile, NATO is coupling its decision with a new offer to the Soviet Union for reduction of existing forces. Allied officials suggest the new arms package can be used as a bargaining chip in future disarmament negotiations. Bernard Redmont, CBS News, Brussels.
CBS News correspondent Bernard Kalb, also in Brussels, reports that the NATO meeting will provide a double test of American leadership on whether the United States will win ratification of the proposal to modernize Western Europe's nuclear forces and on whether the United States will be able to mobilize Western Europe behind Washington in the event of a tightening of the diplomatic and economic screws on Iran.
So far as Iran is concerned, Secretary Vance, who arrived in Brussels today, will press for Allied support of any American strategy aimed at freeing the hostages. Western Europe, according to U.S. officials, has given Vance a very sympathetic hearing during his 2 days of travel on the continent. Britain, France, Italy, and West Germany are said to have been interested, but without any commitment, in the possibility of a new U.S. strategy, calling on the Security Council to impose economic sanctions against Iran. American officials say the U.S. is moving toward a final decision on this matter and that, among other factors being weighed, are what impact such a step might have on the fate of the hostages and whether Iran might retaliate by turning off the oil flow to the West. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Brussels.
Foreign ambassadors and heads of mission in Tehran met this morning with Iran's foreign minister, but Al Walker reports that if they were hoping for word on the fate of the American hostages, they were disappointed.
One source described the meeting as strictly a courtesy call, in which Foreign Minister Sadek Gotsuzadeh made the acquaintance of Tehran's diplomatic community. However, small groups of diplomats have later appointments with the foreign minister, at which they hope to be given some details of the planned international grand jury to be convened to investigate charges against the United States. This group is expected to be impaneled within 10 days. Meanwhile, a ranking member of the ruling Revolutionary Council, Ayatollah Beheshti, talked with reporters this morning, saying that the question of trials of the American hostages is now secondary to the issue of the International Grand Jury. His remarks offered hope that perhaps some of the American prisoners, now into their sixth week of captivity, may be released without going on trial. In the most recent conversations with authorities here, the question of the deposed Shah's return to Iran, which has always been an absolute precondition for other considerations, has not been emphasized as much as in the past. Al Walker, CBS News, Tehran.
CBS News Pentagon correspondent Ike Pappas reports that in recent days, U.S. intelligence has detected the influx of a battalion of Soviet troops, about 500 men, into Afghanistan. But government sources say that for the time being, the troops do not appear to be connected with the situation in Iran, which borders Afghanistan. Official Washington is still expressing anger over Japan's purchase of large amounts of Iranian oil at premium prices. The Carter administration feels this is undercutting the U.S. position, and six senators have introduced a resolution urging Japan not only to stop it, but to support other U.S. measures for release of the hostages. Bruce Dunning reports the response in Tokyo.
The proposed Senate resolution should be seen as the gravest of warnings from the United States, said a foreign ministry official. Japan is extremely worried right now about being able to avoid severely damaging relationships with both the United States and Iran. Government officials and newspaper editorials expressed fears that a serious dispute may develop with the United States over Japan's buying large quantities of Iranian oil production no longer accepted by the Americans. But the Japanese are also terrified of offending Iran, which supplies about 11% of Japan's oil, and the Japanese don't want the Iranians to think they are buckling under U.S. pressure. A Japanese newspaper complained that Americans fail to understand Japan's dependence on Middle East oil. The situation here has been aggravated because several of the so-called majors, the American companies that sell oil worldwide, have told Japanese refiners they will cut back or halt deliveries of oil after the first of the year. The Japanese oil firms are therefore scrambling to find supplies of oil to make up for what the American firms will no longer deliver. And so the Japanese complain that Americans fail to understand that U.S. oil companies are partly to blame for Japan's rush to buy the Iranian oil. Bruce Denning, CBS News, Tokyo.
The dollar went up 1.5 yen today in Tokyo, but it's weaker in Western Europe, while the price of gold keeps on rising, selling at a record $450 an ounce in London and around the same level in Zurich. A powerful bomb exploded last night in New York at the Soviet mission to the United Nations, injuring four policemen and four Soviet staffers. Rita Sands tells us about it.
The mission is located on a fashionable and very secure block. There are guards positioned outside the mission and a police precinct directly across the street. Officials are trying to figure out how a bomb could be planted under the nose of such security. Omega 7, an anti-Castro group, has claimed responsibility. The same group that took responsibility for two bombs at the Cuban mission in recent weeks. The policeman injured last night had been standing watch at the Russian mission when the bomb went off in the underground garage. In an apartment house across the street, Rami Azar, a visitor from Jerusalem, was with a friend having a cup of tea.
Suddenly it was a big flash, you know, and the cup was falling down because I fell down. I was so scared. It felt like it hurt us, you know. And then we heard all the glasses falling down and everything. We looked through the window and we saw smoke coming out and all the people was rushing outside the door. It felt like about 20 pounds TNT or something like that. You see, I live in Jerusalem and I'm from Israel and we're used to these things, but something like that I never heard.
The Russians inside the mission who were injured refused medical aid from Americans, but their injuries were described as not serious. Rita Sands, CBS News, New York.
Explosions shook a Japanese-owned oil refining complex today in Puerto Rico, injuring 10 people and causing extensive damage estimated at $40 million. The cause is not known, but reports from San Juan say there's no indication that sabotage was involved. Dianne Feinstein has won a full term as mayor of San Francisco. She defeated city supervisor Quentin Kopp in yesterday's runoff election, 54% to 46%. Mrs. Feinstein is the first woman ever to be elected mayor of the city by the Golden Gate.
Newsbreak, the 12th of December, 1979. I'm Charles Osgood reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Some wide shots and close-ups in just a moment.
How many cold tablets do you take a day? Two?
More.
Four?
More.
Six?
Yeah.
A day?
Uh-huh.
And then more at night?
Right.
Why?
Well, they're new.
Take Contac. One capsule helps all your congestive symptoms up to 12 hours.
All day?
And all night while you sleep. That's the wonder of Contac.
Hey, you're the guys on TV.
Yeah, we're the guys on TV.
Take your Contac, take it fast. Give your cold to Contac.
Take only as directed.
Come Christmas shopping at Ben Franklin and find the quality you want at prices you like. Our Toy Town has a wondrous collection of dolls for a favorite young lady on your list. She'll love Hasbro's Cuddly Snuggles doll. Pull the string in her back and Snuggles gives a hug. Snuggles is specially priced at $9.99 at participating Ben Franklin stores.
Discover Ben Franklin, where quality is right at home.
Here is December the 12th, wide shot. Two planets, Mars and Jupiter, are so positioned that tomorrow morning Mars will appear in the pre-dawn sky directly above the brilliant planet Jupiter. They will be, in other words, in conjunction. Some believe that what the wise men saw as the Star of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago was a conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter. It happens that in a year we call 7 BC, there was a triple conjunction, something quite rare in the heavens. And the wise men, who attached great significance to celestial events, may well have believed it was a most important sign. By the way, this sky of ours is a triple conjunction, too. Jupiter and Mars will line up again in February and then yet again in early May. The last triple conjunction was in 1837. December 12th, planet Earth. In the Pacific Ocean, where two of the great plates that float on the surface of the planet come together, there was motion this morning. Pressure builds up along the places where the plate edges meet. And from time to time, there is this motion. Sometimes it is violent. This time it was in the ocean off the west coast of South America. Instruments around the world that record the intensity of such movements, seismographs, registered 7.8 to 8.1 on the Richter scale, a major earthquake. In the towns along the coast of Colombia and near the Ecuadorian border, Narino, Guapi, El Charco, in the cities of Bogota, Cali, Manizales, and Pereira, people rushed into the streets in their nightclothes, awakened by the rumble, the shaking, the swaying of buildings. To the north, there was concern the tremor would cause the ocean to slosh and a wave called a tsunami to form. Sometimes they form, sometimes they do not. There is no way to stop one from forming, and traveling vast distances sometimes across oceans before coming ashore somewhere as a deadly tidal wave. December 12th. Demolition experts try to get inside the Soviet UN mission in New York, where a bomb exploded last night. El Salvador, a bomb exploded last night at the Israeli embassy. San Antonio, Texas, a taunting crowd led by two disc jockeys tears up signs displayed by five Iranian students and threatens to declare, quote, open season on camel jockeys. December 12th. Iran's foreign minister says a wire was received from Senator Kennedy requesting a meeting with the Ayatollah. Kennedy has denied sending any such wire. December 12th, gold hits a new high, $450 an ounce. Fiji offers to take in the deposed Shah. Sirhan Sirhan, convicted assassin of Robert Kennedy, asks reduction of his sentence. President Carter to announce increased military budget as a way of getting Senate approval of a strategic arms limitation agreement. December 12th, a North Dakota law school professor contends a state law requiring the Ten Commandments to be posted in schoolrooms is unconstitutional. Mother Teresa heads back to Calcutta with a Nobel Peace Prize. She stops in Rome saying, if a mother can murder her own child in her womb, what then is left for you and me to kill each other? Poverty in the West is harder to remove, she says. A person is shut out, unwanted, unloved. That is poverty too. December 12th, planets conjoin, Earth moves, men war. And these have been a few miscellaneous wide shots and close-ups. Now this.
I like pepperoni, but it doesn't like me.
You better fast with Digel.
With the ingredients in Digel, relief from acid indigestion and gas starts in less than a minute.
I like corned beef.
I like cabbage.
I like Frank's.
I like beans.
I like spaghetti.
And meatballs.
But they don't like me.
If you like something that doesn't like you,
you better fast with Digel.
Digel relief starts in less than a minute. For occasional use only as directed.
This is Newsbreak. I'm Charles Osgood, CBS News.
I'm Richard C. Hotelet reporting on the CBS Radio Network. More on the latest developments in Seoul from newsman Ken Sink.
According to informed sources, a gun battle took place at the residence of South Korean martial law commander General Chung Sung-won, and four persons were wounded. Following secret testimony by the late President Park Chung-hee's admitted assassin, Kim Jae-kyu, a small group of army investigators went to Chung's home and were confronted by aides who opened fire. General Chung was arrested and the entire area, a popular foreigner's residential district, was immediately sealed off by martial law troops. No further details are available at this time. This is Ken Sink for CBS News in Seoul, Korea.
In Washington, State Department officials said their information on the shooting in Seoul was sketchy, but it appeared that a power struggle was underway between competing military factions in South Korea. The former British colony of Southern Rhodesia, which declared its independence 14 years ago to preserve white minority rule and then became Zimbabwe Rhodesia under a black majority government, today became once again the British dependency of Southern Rhodesia. Britain's Lord Soames arrived in Salisbury to take over supreme authority in the name of the Crown as governor. It was part of a fully legal transition to independence to become the State of Rhodesia, which will reconcile all black factions, including the guerrilla fighters of the Patriotic Front. The last bit to complete the picture and move on to a new general election is the declaration of a ceasefire in the guerrilla war, expected soon. More news after this.
Best Western is the world's largest lodging chain, and that makes them the most convenient.
It's one of a kind, and it's a Best Western.
We stayed with Best Western all the way from Aspen to Miami Beach.
Because the travelers who know stayed at a Best Western.
And every Best Western along the way was different. That's what made it fun.
Clean, comfortable, convenient. That's Best Western.
And wherever you go, pick the Best Western today.
Now, True Value Hardware stores offer Christmas gifts that can really get carried away. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you their selection of Sanyo portable radios and recorders can be used at home or carried away wherever you go. The Sanyo mini-size FM-AM portable radio has a 2.25-inch speaker plus a handy wrist strap. And the portable cassette recorder has a built-in mic, automatic stop and level controls, and a carrying handle. See all the Sanyo entertainment equipment at participating True Value Hardware stores and home centers.
The death toll has climbed to 81 in today's strong earthquake which shook parts of Colombia and Ecuador. While the quake was felt in Colombia's capital, Bogota, most of the damage was reported in small villages along the Colombian-Ecuadorian border. The Iranian judge, who has sentenced some 200 people to death since the Shah was overthrown, says that even if any of the American hostages are tried and convicted of spying, none will be sentenced to death. The judge, said to be a close friend of Ayatollah Khomeini, said he wished the hostages released soon, and he added, quote, "They are our guests, and we do not like to treat our guests like this," unquote. Speaker Thomas O'Neill today sailed into Japan for buying Iranian oil that the U.S. had previously bought, taking it off Iran's hands at premium prices. "If I had singular powers," O'Neill told reporters, "I'd teach them a lesson with their exports. They had their day of infamy many, many years ago," O'Neill continued, "but we were very kind and charitable and helped build them into an industrial nation. Consorting with the enemy does not seem like a very friendly act. You're either with us or against us," unquote. Late yesterday, explosions rocked a Japanese-owned oil refining complex outside San Juan, Puerto Rico, destroying one petrochemical plant and damaging two others. 10 people were injured, damages put at $40 million. In Tokyo, Prime Minister O'Hara's spokesman told reporters that Japan has no plans for imposing restrictions on imports of Iranian oil despite U.S. criticism. Stocks and other news after this.
This is Sammy Davis Jr.
Didn't I tell you you'd really dig this nutty cream Almanetta? Now there's Mochanetta, a smooth coffee-flavored wine, and Anisetta with a bright, lilting flavor. Three deliciously light-flavored wines with all the tastes of rich, expensive cordials at about a third of the price. For the cost of one bottle of liqueur, you can enjoy all three wines. Nutty Almanetta, Coffee Mochanetta, Lilting Anisetta from Manischewitz.
Manischewitz Wine Company, New York.
Dionne Warwick for the American Florists Marketing Council.
Flowers are all the things you want to say. They add so much to someone's day.
This time of year, flowers and plants turn into unique holiday business gifts. They're personal, decorative, festive, colorful, impressive, and so quick and easy to send. Just make an arrangement with your florist. They'll take care of all the last-minute details. Send your floral business gift today.
The Senate this morning refused to kill an amendment that would add more than $30 billion to the so-called windfall profits tax on the nation's oil companies. The Senate bill raises the figure to $185 billion. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is up 1.28. Volume on the big board, 15,070,000 shares. The Dow Jones Industrials stand at 834.98. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News.
CBS News. The Senate continues debate at this hour on the windfall profits tax on the oil companies. And Majority Leader Byrd says he won't let anyone go home until an agreement is worked out. I'm Deborah Potter reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Details from Nelson Benton on Capitol Hill.
Senate officials moved cots into the Capitol. Cots for catnaps, that is, as the Senate faced an all-night session on its version of the windfall oil profits tax bill. Majority Leader Robert Byrd threatened the round-the-clock session earlier in the day in an effort to break a filibuster mounted by Republicans and oil state senators seeking to limit the amount of the tax. Byrd unsuccessfully sought Senate approval to vote on a key amendment that would add some $30 billion to the tax over a 10-year period, bringing the Senate version closer to what President Carter had asked for and to the windfall tax measure already adopted by the House of Representatives. Earlier, Republican leader Ted Stevens had lamented on the floor of the Senate that, like it or not, it looks like we're into the filibuster season with the Christmas season. Nelson Benton, CBS News at the U.S. Senate.
Three major oil-producing countries have decided to increase their prices by $6 a barrel, a jump of almost 30% over the current OPEC minimum. Saudi Arabia, the largest exporter of crude to the United States, joined Qatar and the United Arab Emirates in the move. It comes just 4 days before the OPEC pricing conference opens in Venezuela. More CBS News after this.
Do you have people on your Christmas list who don't relate to a gift unless it relates to business, money, or their careers? You can solve your Christmas shopping problems with gift subscriptions to the nation's leading business newspaper, The Wall Street Journal. For those hard-to-please friends, clients, and business associates, The Journal is one gift that will really matter when it's time to get back to business after the holidays. Every business day, they'll get useful, stimulating, unbiased information about investments, taxes, politics, labor relations, monetary news, foreign relations, you name it. Right now, you can order a 20-week gift subscription to the Wall Street Journal for only $22. That's right, 20 weeks of full 100 copies for only $22. And a handsome hand-signed card will announce your gift at holiday time. So in the continental U.S., call this toll-free number now, 800-228-2222. That's 800-228-2222, except in Nebraska. Call now, 800-228-2222. You'll be billed later.
The American hostages in Iran are beginning their 40th day in captivity, and there's still no sign of any progress in the efforts to win their release. Secretary of State Vance hopes to step up the pressure today when he meets with NATO foreign ministers in Brussels, asking their support for economic sanctions against Iran. Diplomatic pressure applied yesterday when the United States ordered most of the Iranian officials based in this country to leave by Monday. Spokesman Tom Reston says that 183 are being expelled.
The Department of State has informed the chargé d'affaires of the Iranian embassy that the staffing level of that embassy should be reduced to 15 persons. The chargé was also informed that the Iranian consulate general in New York and also the consulates general in San Francisco, Chicago, and Houston are expected to reduce their personnel to 5 at each post.
Reston says the U.S. is not breaking diplomatic relations with Iran, but he promised more action soon to try to secure the freedom of the hostages. Defense Secretary Brown goes before the Senate Armed Services Committee today to give details of President Carter's plan to increase the Pentagon budget. Mr. Carter announced yesterday he wants a hike in defense spending of more than 4% a year through 1985. The move apparently aimed at winning support in the Senate for the new strategic arms agreement with Moscow. Officials in Bogota, Colombia now say that more than 120 people were killed, 2,000 injured in yesterday's earthquake. The entire southwest coast near the border with Ecuador has been declared a disaster area, and the army has been sent in to begin rescue operations. Now this.
Come Christmas shopping at Ben Franklin for products you know at prices you like. Remember last Christmas when you forgot batteries for all those gifts and the kids couldn't play with their toys? This year, stock up ahead of time on EverReady Alkaline 9-volt and AA batteries and make everything work when they open it. Get EverReady batteries at participating Ben Franklin stores.
Discover Ben.
that seem like hours when you sometimes have trouble getting to sleep. Wouldn't you like to get to sleep fast? Announcing new Unisom. A different generation sleep aid. The only one with doxylamine. To our knowledge, Unisom is the only non-prescription sleep aid proven effective in clinical tests. When you sleep better, you feel better. For occasional sleeplessness, take new Unisom. Use only as directed.
The Treasury Department has raised the interest rate on many U.S. savings bonds from 6.5% to 7% effective January 1st. The government wants to make the bonds more competitive with other securities because sales are down about 10% this year. But half a percentage point may not do the trick. Six-month money market certificates were paying better than 11% interest this week. I'm Deborah Potter, CBS News.